This is DW News live from Berlin. Hong Kong police storm a university barricaded by anti-government protesters. Fiery clashes rock Hong Kong Polytechnic after authorities threaten to use live ammunition against protesters. Some demonstrators have been using lethal weapons of their own, including bow and arrows. We'll go live to our correspondent there on the ground. Also coming up, Tehran takes a tough stance on its unpopular fuel hike. Iran's supreme leader says he backs the sudden decision to raise prices, even as a wave of violent protests grips the nation. Plus, Cuba's capital, Havana, celebrates its 500th birthday with music, dancing, and fireworks. But it's not all good against a backdrop of an ailing economy hit by sanctions. I'm William Gluecroft. Welcome to the program. A tense standoff is unfolding in Hong Kong, where police are moving in against anti-government protesters holed up in a university. As police try to storm Hong Kong Polytechnic, protesters responded by setting fire to the main campus entrance. Authorities have warned they'll resort to live ammunition if the small group of holdouts don't put down lethal weapons. Some of them have used bow and arrows and hurled petrol bombs at police. We're joined now by Matthias Bollinger, who's there for us in Hong Kong. Matthias, the scenes out of there are quite terrifying. Talk us through the situation as it's escalated.
So about an hour ago, a little more, the police tried to enter this university throughout the whole night and the whole day yesterday. There had been clashes outside of the university with police charging, being pushed back, retreating, pushing forward without big changes in the lines. So the streets around the university were encircled by the police, besieged. Nobody could get out. Then in the early morning, just before dawn, they managed to get near the entrance and they started to charge at the entrance, make a few arrests, and then the protesters pushed them back by setting a fire on the entrance. Now the main entrance is blocked by a fire. There is this entrance. This is, as far as I know, the only other entrance. It is barricaded. The protesters have now gathered here, expecting the police to charge from there. They have brought boxes and carts with Molotov cocktails here to fight the police back. The university principal has negotiated a kind of armistice, saying that the police would not use force if the protesters wouldn't, but that would include that all the and that the protesters could leave peacefully, but that would include that they all go to a police station to be arrested. Police have made clear they do not want anybody to escape from this. The protesters are in a very, very hopeless situation, and that makes them, it's seemingly, that's my impression, more determined to use every means necessary to defend themselves until probably at some point they will have to give up.
Well, tell us more about these students. They reported they're small in numbers. They seem to be described as more the extreme wing of this protest movement. Who are they and how did they affect the bigger protest movement that's been going on for months?
So this university has been occupied since Tuesday, and since then, of course, all the radicals have gathered here. So this is really the part of the protesters who are willing to use force. Not only, there are also others. There are also a group of elderly who try to protect them and try also to talk them out of violence, although they haven't managed to. And there are first aiders, volunteer first aiders. Earlier, a group of these first aiders tried to leave via an exit that the police has promised that would be sure, and they were all arrested while going out. So everybody who is in here now is in the same situation. The wider protest movement, probably many people do not think it's right what they do, but the protest movement has a rule, and this is no group criticizes the others in order to avoid division among the protest movement. This might be one of the reasons why the radicals were able to set the agenda throughout these last few days. From opinion polls, however, we see that the majority of Hong Kongers blame the government and the police for the escalation and not the protesters.
All right. Thank you, Matthias Berlinger in Hong Kong, and stay safe. Now, protesters are also out on the streets in Iran, angry over a sharp rise in gas prices. Iran's supreme leader won't back down, saying the hike is for financing social welfare programs. Some of the demonstrations turned violent, with at least two dead and more injured. The government has hinted at a crackdown, saying protest is a right, but not if it leads to what Iran's president has called insecurity.
Iranians have taken to the streets in the capital Tehran and a number of cities across the country in protest against a government move to hike the price of petrol by 50%. The demonstrations started with protesters blocking roads but escalated quickly. Petrol stations and cars were torched and all manner of public property was badly damaged. Banks and government buildings were also a focus for people's rage, which failed to sway Iran's leader Ayatollah Al-Khamenei. He stands steadfastly in support of the price hike.
Top officials have sat down and made a decision for the country based on expert assessments. This decision must be executed.
The move is in part a response to the failing economy as a result of U.S. sanctions. But Khamenei says nothing justifies the response from protesters.
Setting a bank on fire is not an act done by the people. This is what thugs do.
His words were indicative of a strong line being taken by the government in the face of the unrest. Police have threatened more tough measures, and the communications minister announced that the internet has been shut down for 24 hours to reimpose control.
Now to some of the other stories making news around the world. Russia will return three captured naval vessels to Ukraine, according to Russian media. The boats were seized by Russia last year as they tried to break through a Russian blockade that closed access to several Ukrainian ports. The ship's return comes ahead of talks between the two nations to discuss the conflict in eastern Ukraine. The people of Belarus have voted in a parliamentary election that opposition groups say was neither free nor fair. President Alexander Lukashenko dismissed those allegations after voting in the capital, Minsk. Many prominent opposition figures were ruled ineligible as candidates. Floodwaters have exceeded the 1.5-meter mark in Venice for the third time in a week, submerging famous sites like St. Mark's Square in knee-deep water. More than 70% of the city is underwater, damaging monuments, shops, and homes. The crisis is expected to cost Italy hundreds of millions of euros. People in Sri Lanka have chosen a new president with an old last name. Gotabaya Rajapaksa won a resounding victory this weekend. His brother Mahinda also served as president for a decade, from 2005 to 2015. The two of them crushed a separatist movement, ending the country's civil war, but killing an estimated 40,000 people in the process. There were also allegations of rape, torture, and extrajudicial killings. So while many are celebrating his victory, others are uneasy.
It's official. Sri Lanka is set to have a Rajapaksa at the helm again. Jubilant crowds gathered on the streets of the capital, Colombo, to get a glimpse of their new leader, chanting their congratulations. Gotabaya Rajapaksa, the brother of former President Mahinda Rajapaksa, claimed a landslide victory a day after the presidential vote was held. His supporters are breathless with praise and adulation. He's taking over the country while it is in a lot of trouble. Under any other leader, even a child wouldn't feel safe on the streets. I'm so happy. Long live Gotabaya. This victory belongs to Gotabaya. The people have shown their support for him. Now I will feel safe here. Words can't explain how happy I am. I pray for Gotabe Rajapaksa and I want to thank him for saving this country. The ranks break. He's here. The clamor is as much to get close to Mahindra Rajapaksa as it is for the new president. Supporters idolize the brothers, who oversaw the end of Sri Lanka's decades-long civil war. But not all of Sri Lanka is celebrating. There was little joy on the streets in areas that backed Rajapaksa's opponent, Sajith Premadasa. They are uneasy about their future.
In the past, there have been allegations of enforced disappearances and a crushing of dissent under the leadership of Mahindra and Gotabe Rajapaksa. Minorities are concerned about their rights under a new nationalist Rajapaksa government, but they are afraid to express this on camera for fear of reprisals.
And the changes in the country's leadership are far from over. Experts point out that as the incumbent Prime Minister Ranil Wickremesinghe is from a different party than Rajapaksa, he could resign to allow for the new president to make his own pick. But the last time an attempt was made to remove the Sri Lankan Prime Minister, it triggered a constitutional crisis.
I mean, it could have a destabilizing effect if Mr. Wickremesinghe and Mr. Rajapaksa, the new president, cannot agree on what the next step is going to be. Yeah? Then, of course, it'll create the question of, look, we have to have a vote of no confidence and all of that kind of thing. But otherwise, it's a relatively smooth transfer of power.
Security, peace and prosperity. That is what Sri Lankans are seeking. It's a tall order, but Gotabe Rajapaksa's euphoric supporters are confident he will deliver.
Cuba has been celebrating the 500th anniversary of the founding of its capital, Havana, by Spanish conquerors. But the city's residents have little else to celebrate these days. The Trump administration has mostly reversed a modest thaw in relations that had briefly opened the island to U.S. tourists. Tentative economic reforms introduced by Cuba's government have done little to improve most people's lives.
Havana celebrated the anniversary with a gala performance in front of the Capitol building. Music, opera, ballet, traditional dance, and a fireworks spectacle that belied the communist country's economic misery and repressive regime.
We feel united and hope that everything will get better.
We Cubans build on our dreams and future despite being surrounded by obstacles.
President Miguel Díaz-Canel opened the official festivities without making any remarks. As a rule, he stays away from microphones. Havana's birthday comes at a difficult time. The U.S. has imposed numerous sanctions. Fuel is scarce, American tourists have stopped coming to the island. Gradually, the communist regime is loosening its grip on the economy in the hopes that it will boost incomes.
Cuba needs a certain amount of privatization in the economy. Opening possibilities for small business people is one step. Cubans with capital can invest in the country. That makes sense.
Havana turns 500. Following local custom, residents touched wood for good luck in the future.
In tennis, Stefanos Tsitsipas has been crowned the ATP Finals champion after a 6-7, 6-2, 7-6 win over Dominic Thiem in London. The Greek won a nail-biter against his Austrian opponent, claiming the third and final set on a tiebreak. Tsitsipas is just 21 years old and is the youngest ATP Finals champion in nearly two decades. And in Formula One, Red Bull's Max Verstappen has won the Brazil Grand Prix, starting in pole position. The Dutchman crossed the finish line ahead of the pack. World champion Lewis Hamilton finished third. It's Verstappen's third win of the season. And don't forget, you can always get DW News on the go. Just download our app from Google Play Store or the Apple App Store. That'll give you access to all the latest news from around the world, as well as push notifications for any breaking news. You can also use the DW app to send us photos and videos from where you are. Up next in World Stories, find out what happened when former East German dissidents were reunited with the children they were forced to give away. Don't forget, you can stay up to date all the time at our stories at our website,